The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight on Rumble. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Yes, this move to Rumble is exciting. I hope that we can restore our audience here and perhaps find new friends or old friends who we had lost along the way. There's lots of people who are not willing to connect to Odyssey. And even some people are not willing to click on a Rumble link. That is how it is. Unfortunately, when you get shadow banned and you get attacked by the mainstream YouTube, you have to survive on platforms that are tougher to attract to. End of the line, Joel says, since Rumble is the main, what will be your second and third platforms for streaming, JF? Well, I don't know, I guess Odyssey could be we could go back to Odyssey at times, accepting that there won't be super chats on it, and perhaps connecting Streamlabs to it in a way that, just the same way we do here. There's also YouTube. I still have a YouTube channel. I'm not completely banned from YouTube. It's just that YouTube has tricked the game and made it impossible for me to grow. I am a dissident that has been rejected by the system. Restream.io says Rodi Lacid. I mean, I think that with Rumble, we are quite stable and we don't need that much backups. I mean, there's also X. X is a place where I could speak freely if there was a problem with Rumble at any point. We will have a big debate. People are going to be happy. I know that back in the days, I was often engaged in debate, and there's less and less debate, but it's not my fault, by the way. I'm still on an open invitation to anyone wanting to debate any of my belief. I accept all debates. But the world has evolved away from debate and into these pockets of thought. It's really a discomfortable world. I preferred the old world of the internet, where everyone was talking to everyone, where you'd get one of the top YouTubers, Sargon of Akkad, would jump on my small shows, come in the chat, jump on the live stream. I really prefer that world of constant exchange, because the world of little pockets, it's too easy. It's everyone makes their claims unchallenged, and the big lie of the public space becomes this whatever you can say that will not trigger your audience, but that would get challenged if you were to say it to someone else. And it becomes a big lie by omission. That's the problem of circle jerks. Circle jerks lead to a lie by omission, and that is what a lot of the subversive voices in American culture want to happen, because they lie by omission a lot. That is why I've been forcing a lot, and I've been overly harsh to people who don't exchange. I don't think you can do a good job as a public speaker if you can't learn. And if you can only speak, if you can only teach, you can't do a good job, because this experience that the internet is an experience of bilateral learning. And it's an experience of confrontation. And if you don't constantly put yourself challenged cognitively to new ideas that your brain hasn't approached yet, you don't advance. Now, things are going relatively well. You know, I'm seeing Ian Carroll on Joe Rogan. Ian Carroll is this guy who's memeing and who's been somewhat anti-Israel. He's been unsatisfactorily, in my view, reading some of the war-related stuff of Trump, but in Gaza. But still, you know, a guy who's pushing for our talking points in an effective way. I see him on Rogan, and he's awakening people to subjects we've been talking about for a decade now. It's good. It's good that we're there. Ian Carroll, there are questions about what the fuck is he? Why such an emergence in the mainstream when, in fact, Joe Rogan has refused again and again to invite people to talk about this subject, Israeli influence? Why suddenly Ian Carroll makes it digestible? Who the fuck knows? And who the fuck is paying this guy? I don't know. End of the line, Joel says, even LP, I hypocrite, is remonetized on YouTube now. Okay, it's interesting. I mean, there may be a reopening of YouTube. Perhaps we can do a return to YouTube at some point. But I'm not playing a game that I can only lose. I'm not playing a game where if my videos are shadow banned and if I can feel that YouTube is engineered to lead to my loss, I'm not going to go back on YouTube, especially given the price they charge on Super Chats. It's like I can make half the Super Chats on Rumble and through Streamlabs and make as much money. So no, I'm not super enthusiastic at getting drained again by YouTube. They still owe me $5,000. Rodilacid says he is amiable and charismatic. It's difficult to get angry towards Jan. So this will be the debate. I'm very pleased to announce that this Friday, 1 p.m. PST, I will be hosting another debate featuring Corey J. Mahler. This time, Corey will take on the biologist J.F. Gariepy on the topic of evolution. So apparently this guy... oops, do I have a screen problem? why is the screen not showing? I don't know. Wow, that is weird. That is very weird. Anyways, can I do a show without a screen? I mean, window capture, screen capture. Capture screen. Why has the old one been disabled somehow? Maybe it's my changes of setting. Okay, we're getting there. I am a do-it-yourself of the streaming world. So I'm very pleased to announce that this Friday at 1 p.m. PST, Corey will take on the biologist J.F. Gariepy on the topic of evolution. Corey is apparently denying evolution on philosophical grounds, so I don't think we're going to get a massive insight into molecular biology. Now, he does make some claims about molecular biology. Apparently, he's saying that there's not enough time. The math doesn't add up. The math of mutations. There's not enough time to grow from non-complex life to complex life. On which basis do they say that? I can't wait to hear, because you have to, if you make this claim, a claim of impossibility is a positive claim. It needs to be backed by something. What is the rate of mutation? What is the effect of natural selection? Just how much pressure is that for complex life to emerge? Do you even have probabilities about how probable is it to convert from bacterial life to meiotic life? How probable is it to get your something like eukaryotes? You don't have the data to make these claims. And because we only have one observation, us. If there were planets around, maybe you could make that claim. If there were planets around and we had 2-3 observations of how many planets did life occur. But given that we are the only one that we know of, claims of statistical improbability require much theoretical insight, and I don't think he has this insight. I also believe that he is philosophically engaged in a denial of empiricism, and so he seems to be on the line of argument of there's nothing in the facts of the world that binds me to believe in them. And that is definitely a violation of the Hume guillotine. To expect facts to command your morals is to take is a philosophical error. And so I will attack him on philosophical ground. If he makes these arguments, I will challenge them, because you cannot demand that facts impact your moral other than by preselected morals. In other words, facts can come in and inform your morals, but they cannot bind you. They cannot determine your moral. They cannot bind you to believe that you should do this or you should believe that. To the contrary, the engagement of free agents with a physical world is to have an internal process. And if part of this internal process is a question of curiosity, is the question of, hey, I want to look out there and see the empirical world and I want to derive conclusion from it, then you're in business for empiricism. But empiricism cannot come and impose itself as an objective belief onto your moral system. Fools have the choice to refuse truths. Fools have the choice to refuse the entire reality around them. That being said, I don't think that Corey Mailer is a fool. I don't think that he is anti-empiricism. I'm pretty sure that in his everyday life, he keeps trusting every aspect of his personal sensations. I'm sure that when he sees food on the table, he eats it. You can see that he's relatively fat, you know. I'm sure that he is in connection with the atoms of the world, especially those in butter. Buteau says, the claim is that the universe can be older than the time it has existed. He puts it like you play a game with a story, but the game happens in a particular moment of this timeline. Okay, that's his claim. We'll see if he does this in debate. I don't think it's super important to the question of evolution, but we'll see. A new guy says, leftist scum, denial of objectivity, retards. I believe what I want, a priori. Lol, they all do the rock theory. Oh yeah, the rock theory is this idea that if I throw a rock at you, at your cranium, and you try to avoid it, you believe in matter. so that resolves the debate around idealism and the denial of physicalism. The belief that the thoughts are the essential unit of the universe. Absolutely narcissistic belief. Well, some of the most dangerous things to emerge from philosophy is idealism. Much more dangerous, by the way, than moral nihilism. See, a Stefan Molyneux is very scared about moral nihilism. He's very scared that there are people like me walking around knowing that moral beliefs are not objective. They are not objective. They are not imposed by standards. They are not binding. But see, my behavior as I walk around is pristine. I've never been accused of any crime. I've never been arrested for any crime. I do not commit crimes. I do not even commit the most elementary levels of verbal abuse that most people would engage in. And that's a moral nihilist. Now, an idealist, the problem is the idealist is absolutely convinced that his mind is the most important thing and, in fact, is the only truth that matters. And that will lead you to some narcissistic directions. Buteau says, it's like God created the universe 8,000 years ago, but to make it interesting, he took the base physical laws and started a simulation after 13.6 billions of years of stuff happening. Yeah, it's like God, if there's a God who seeded life forms 8,000 years ago, he had a saved state. He had a saved state somewhere. He had the little Nintendo plug-in, Nintendo 64 plug-in memory card, and he started from a saved state. That's actually a very interesting metaphor, Buteau. That may be how I approach the debate, you know? If you were to enter in a game of Mario 64, there are various points in which you could enter. You can enter on the green grass, seeing the castle, seeing the princess in distress and having to go save her with zero stars. Or you can enter a game where you have 72 stars and you're at the door of Bowser and you're about to enter the lava castle. Now, certainly, in front of these games, you could say, hey, one of these games is a saved state. One of these games has a prior history. And one of these games doesn't. And it's a little bit what biology is about. It's we see that people are having babies and animals are having babies. And isn't it fascinating how everything complex in the world, down to plants and even bacteria, are all having babies? Isn't that weird? Shouldn't we do something about this? What does that mean? Well, it means that their parents were having babies and their grandparents are having babies and their great-grandparents were having babies. And you have to find a way at which it stops. You have to find for just how many time have these things have been having babies? And the answer of biology is for a fucking long time, simply. It's quite simple. People typically don't deny that people are having babies. People typically don't deny that even in times when there were no cameras and no history recorded, people were still having babies back then. And so you have the elements of the theory of evolution being acknowledged by most evolution deniers. Do we really need this? An inflatable, huge balloon of Kim Kardashian? Why? I mean, and this whole Kim Kardashian being sexy is an absolute misconception that was introduced to for men to start adoring big ass woman because she has way too much of a big ass and hip to be adored at the national level. Now, I'm not saying if Kim Kardashian is your girlfriend, okay, that's fine. I'm happy for you. Yeah, she's beautiful by the standard of a girlfriend that you can reach. but she's not beautiful to the point of being designated as a point of national visual attention. Even this big ballooned thing is actually underdone. Because she has a bigger ass than this. What the fuck is this? Why have this on the streets? I don't know. It's not even a fair representation of her ass. And I believe that Kim Kardashian was put forward to have men accept big ass woman, to get them into a sort of Africanized dating preference, because I think there's just too much offer. There's just too many fat women at this point, and so it was unsustainable to have the ideal of beauty being the tighter ass woman. Stray says, so that we don't objectify women. There's also this, there's also the whole body positivity movement. Yeah, it's very sad what's being done to civilization. The solution to this problem is obvious, says Thomas Massey. Congress must quit sending the damn money to USAID. Yeah, we were betrayed by Amy Coney Barrett again. How sad is it that we're stuck with this person who was supposed to be a textual, constitutional, Republican interpreter? And the thing is, you can't trust women. I think it boils down to this. You can never trust women, ever. You can never put them in any position of power, because they will drift away from whatever it is that you were expecting from her. So Amy Coney Barrett has sided with the lower court that is imposing that USAID must send $2 billion to a bunch of contractors in advance, even if it's very probable that the judge doesn't have jurisdiction. It's very probable that this case will never reach its end, because it's very probable that the wrong jurisdiction has been selected. And yet, the Supreme Court saying somehow this judge, who doesn't have jurisdiction on the case, can order a temporary order that forces the government to pay $2 billion, which will likely be lost, which will likely be thrown out there, lost into the trickling down into those contractors of the U.S. government. I think that Trump could respond to this in a very extreme manner. He could decide to designate USAID as a terrorist entity and then design all of these contractors as terrorist entities who have stolen from the United States coffers. And at this point, it's like you can drone strike the contractor. It's like, okay, I am forced to give you this check because of the Supreme Court of the U.S., but I could also drone strike you. And if you want, I will give you the check. I am willing to give you the check. Meet at this address, at this time, at this location. And then make a bet on your life because I just designated you as a terrorist entity. I think Trump could do this in principle. So I don't even know how is it that Trump has the power to drone strike these people? He could just kill them. He could just have a bunch of drones just rip through their houses, just completely eliminate those contractors. But he doesn't have the right to withhold a $2 billion on which we think there may be fraud or waste, or there may have been something dark happening with it. The American empire is inconsistent when it comes to the power of the president of the U.S. New Guy Prime says they don't care about life, only money. Yes, Blimpy Survivor, Supervisor. Oh, are you a supervisor of the Blimpy? What is Blimpy? Is it the kids' show on YouTube? this gay guy with a orange hat. What do the Q people believe is going on these days? That's a good question. I guess that being on Rumble, we will interact with some of the Q people. They might show up on our chat at times. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, click on the Streamlabs link for tips to JFG Tonight in the description below. Right below the video, you have a link that allows sending Streamlabs tips. Streamlabs tips are my favorite way to receive support for the show. Alternatively, you can also use the Rumble system. The dollar sign is located below the regular chat. And by the way, I still have not received a test Streamlabs donation. So I'm still
Hello,
the only
this is
person.
A test.
I'm still the only person who has sent a Streamlabs super chat to myself. $5 here, and you will get the privilege if you use the Streamlabs function to
Hello, this is a test.
To be read, for your art to be read live on the show by myself.
The war in Ukraine has led to huge numbers of lives lost. Our ally, the United States, has changed its position.
So we had a discourse of Emmanuel Macron that seems to be indicative that Emmanuel Macron intends to maintain this war going. Now, he is saying a couple of important things. First, in this speech, he is saying that the France as a nuclear force that is purely French and that has served for peace in the past and that it could serve again. So basically, Emmanuel Macron evoking the possibility of using nuclear weapons. He calls them the nuclear deterrent. So perhaps not use them in the terms of bombing, but use them in terms of an intimidating force. And he also said in this speech that he may be able to share as the president of the republic, and he said that any future president of the republic could choose to share the nuclear deterrent with another nation. And so what he's suggesting here is that a future president of France could very well decide to tie peace being achieved in Ukraine with the nuclear threat to Russia. So basically, he's suggesting that France could see if Russia commits any invasion of Ukraine and bind themselves to send a nuclear attack toward Russia if that happens. Literally, it was very subtle. He dropped this at the 7th minute and he just throws it like this. Like, a future president of France could choose to tie the deterrence, the nuclear deterrence, to another nation. Bro, France will not survive 20 minutes. France will not survive 20 minutes if it was to send a significant nuclear strike onto Russian territory. Are you fucking insane? France has the problem that it is a compact territory. There's nothing easier than carpet bombing France with nuclear. All of these little European countries have this issue that any of them is really coverable with a handful of nuclear attacks. And with the kind of hypersonic missiles that Russia masters, they could do nothing about it. Literally, it's just your country can disappear from existence in no time, and you'll still be struggling trying to figure out which of the cities of Russia you need to strike. Because this is the great advantage of Russia, is that it's such a spread out nation. There's really not a single city you could aim, even if you were to target straight to Moscow. there's not a single city you can destroy in Russia that totally that hurts them that much, really. You could dismantle it by sending 100 different warheads to 100 different locations. They would probably be out of range and still functional, even as a government. So France doesn't have deterrence power that Emmanuel Macron claims that it has here. And what he's talking about is, he says, I will not be sending troops on the front line in an active war. But he would be sending troops on the Ukraine front line once a peace deal has been established to keep the peace. But the function of these troops is nothing else to stand there as cannon fodders for either actual attacks against them or false flag attacks against them. So I don't think that it's very interesting what Emmanuel Macron has to bring to the table here, because as is the case with these European countries all the time, he only brings threats and big talk, but nothing very efficient in terms of progressing the speech of the direction of peace. Because peace doesn't become more interesting, doesn't become easier to achieve. And at the same time, he's telling you, all I have is nuclear threats that are worthless, as I made the case for, and soldiers for peacekeeping, but that's conditional to a deal even existing in the first place. So we're still stuck with the problem that Zelensky not wanting peace is an issue. I'll be back in a minute. All right, so we find ourselves with a very incapacitated Europe in front of Trump's decision, and Trump is continuing the lead toward peace, and what Macron wants is what Zelensky wants, is to have these little soldiers that are not truly engaged in war, but are there to maintain a territorial integrity that Zelensky was not able to protect himself. Zelensky was not able to push back the Russians, and the idea is to put a French force or UK force there so that eventually this can build up into a war in which the European public would be supportive of, or the American public would be. But these people are dreaming. We don't take this bullshit anymore. We have independent information channels. You cannot deceive people toward a war the way you were doing it under censorship or under cable TV. We have now independent thinkers that are somewhat independent of the warmongering funders. New Guy Prime says, why does Europe fear Russia? I mean, it's because ultimately Europe hates Russia, because the elites of Europe have been dominated by people who have been kicked out of Russia to an extent. They've not been kicked explicitly, but during World War II, what has happened is there were middle powers. So the middle powers were like Germany, Ukraine. They were central and some of them landlocked powers. And then there were the border powers. The border powers were Russia and the US and France and the UK. So those were naval powers that had the ship that were looking at this landlocked mess that is everything between Germany and Ukraine. And what happened is that There was many. There were many things that have happened during this. But basically, the Russians pushed into the landlocked power. Germany tried to push on the two direction, taking France, occupying France on the one hand, eventually getting involved in a war against the UK, and trying to expand to up to Poland on the Eastern Front. And eventually Germany overspread. There were lots of Jewish forces coming from the Eastern European region that pushed and pushed. That's why you hear these days you hear a podcast like Tim Pool, who will tell you that his employees are all Polish Jews. Well, it's because the Jews have been part of the push of Russia to an extent against Germany. And there were also Jews within Germany who were traveling to America and escaping Germany. So you had a movement of Jews, among other things, in this war that has led to Jewish forces being kind of pushed to the West, whether it's from Germany to America, because America wanted these Jewish scientists and all, or even Eastern Europeans pushing into Western Europe and pushing toward Germany. And eventually, at this whole German Berlin Wall, was the separation between the advancement of the forces of the West and the forces of the East. And there has been... That's my understanding of it. It's a psychological understanding. I don't have much facts to defend this view. But I think the Jews hate Russia for some reason. The Jewish liberals of the West hate Russia. And perhaps they hate Russia because the Soviet Empire was a Jewish creation, and it was kind of taken over and eventually destroyed and dismantled by less Jewish forces like Putin. That may be one of the reasons they hate it. Now, there are definitely Jewish elites in Russia still. So I wouldn't tell you that Putin is Jew-free. But there is some hatred between factions of Jews, and one of this hatred is the leftist Jewish liberals of the West hate Russia. And I don't know why. I don't fully know why. They just do. And so maybe it's in the shake-up. They have accumulated some hatred. So I think that the people who currently control Europe hate Russia. And they see Russia as a hostile force. Now, they will tell you that they see Russia as a hostile force that could expand. They will tell you that Russia will not stop at Ukraine. It's like, okay, but you wouldn't stop at Ukraine either, right? Given the amount of hatred that I see when you go after Middle Eastern countries, when you go after the Ukraine war, you wouldn't stop at Ukraine either. You would want to neutralize Russia. So in a way, we have a Russia that's trying to be like a regular empire and saying, hey... Saying just like the U.S., like, hey, there's these other things happening in other countries, and it impacts my interest, and I would like to intervene. So you have Russia trying to play like the big guy that the U.S. is, and trying to create a history where, hey, yeah, we have legitimate interest in Syria. We have legitimate interest in the way the U.S. treats Iran or even Taiwan. And so you have Russia trying to act like a big boy, and you have the Europeans paranoid and reacting to this as, oh, well, then they are a threat. That is just how it is. The escalation of violence is all paranoia. It's all, will this monkey scratch me? Oh, he's showing his teeth. He's about to attack me. Let me show my teeth to him. Now he's paranoid that I'm about to attack him. The escalation of signaling in war, in existential war, is always like this. It starts with paranoia. It starts with theory of mind. It starts with, I expect these other people to be in that position, and I don't want this. that if people were truly interested in stopping violence in this world, they would think about this a lot, but they don't. Instead, we have this very feminine approach, which we see both in geopolitics and in elementary schools, which is see violence, stop violence. See threats, stop threats. And it's like, no, sometimes the threat is a mechanism to stop the violence. Sometimes the barking. See how these mainstream media treat Trump? He's escalating tensions. He's making wild claims. But the reality is sometimes barking harder is what stops the other side. And Trump is a barker. Trump definitely is a displayer. That's what marketing is also. It's this facade display. Trump loves to make a facade display of strength. And what the female mind cannot understand is that the facade display of strength is sometimes what keeps peace. Just like we can see in the first Trump presidency, one of the most peaceful times on the planet ever. But amazingly, Trump has maintained this with big, big words and barking and big, oh, we're gonna nuke you. And apparently he would even have said to Putin that he was going to nuke Moscow if Putin attacked Ukraine under his presidency. And whatever he said, that worked with Putin. That worked. The barking sometimes work. In the year 2057, there will be a great dog harvest, says Blimpy Supervisor. Woman, I don't know what that means. Woman cannot understand the grammar of violence just as men are taken in by their sexual syntax. Interesting. We have convictions of murderers are becoming again to result in executions. Convicted double murderer Brad Sigmund will die by firing squad in South Carolina on Friday. It marks the first execution of its kind in 15 years across America. That's one thing we get under Trump presidencies, the killings of murderers. I'm not sure it's that valuable, but I'm not against it. I'm much on the fence on the death penalty. I don't really care. But it's interesting that firing squads are a thing, because I was pointing out that firing squad dilute responsibility so that not a single one of the men who pulled the trigger can be convinced that he killed the guy. Everyone can walk away with the conviction that the guy would have died anyway, because there are 3 or 5 or 10 other soldiers killing him anyway. DK Shadow says he didn't want lethal injection. He chose that execution method. Well, it's interesting. I think it's very low cost, I guess, because just bullets. Bullets are, what, 20 cents less? Stray says, you generally know when your shot lands. Yeah, but all of the shot lands, and in a way, all of the shots could be deadly. So you can live the rest of your life without thinking, I was the only reason he died. Because if you don't pull the trigger, the 9 other bullets, one of them is going to make its way through. End of the line, Joel says, Rittenhouse is one of the volunteers. Wouldn't it be funny that we give Kyle Rittenhouse the honor? I mean, he's been showing amazing, under pressure, under huge pressure, he's been showing amazing aim. I don't know of any other case, really, of someone persecuted by a whole crowd, but who can shoot exactly to kill 3 people, and it's like three people with 3 bullets. Maybe there was 1 bullet that flew out, I believe, and it led to an injury. But other than this, Kyle Rittenhouse is a straight shooter. DJ Daniel, the terminally ill kid, who Trump named an honorary Secret Service member, was mocked by member of his own community. Okay, so yes, that video, I knew about it. I had seen it and I had shown it on the show, but yesterday I wasn't remembering. This is the guy who wants to play policeman in his community, but of course he's surrounded by people just like him, black people. And so they mock him and they harass him.
Well, babe, you can arrest me. You too, cocky.
This guy has brain damage and he's standing in his community and he's like face palming. This guy has brain damage, has had 17 brain surgeries, and he looks at his community and he's like, these people are unsavable. Poor little buzz of the black community trying to grow into something and being pulled at the bottom by their surrounding. We can all have a thought for the young black male of black society. In a 5-4 ruling, the Supreme Court ordered the White House to release $2 billion in foreign aid payments to countries abroad. Justices Amy Coney Barrett and Roberts sided with the liberals, while Kavanaugh, Thomas Gorsuch, and Alito dissented. Unbelievable. And as I said, you know, President Trump should just designate this whole flow of money as being a terrorist flow of money. And he should find some reason. I'm sure you can have the FBI. I'm sure you can have your agent look into the history and find some evidence of fraud somewhere. But then designate it as an illegal, fraudulent flow of money that needs to be withheld for investigation. If you can do this to Nick Fuentes, how could you not do this to USAID? Because they've done it to Nick Fuentes, so you should be able to do it. And we realize that Amy Coney Barrett is just an agent of womanry, and that has infected the Supreme Court. Look at how she looks at Trump with disdain. See, that is the X. That is the ick, the ICK. This is the woman feeling of disgust because they understand themselves as being a product of the power of a man that they now find disgusting. Look at, Trump is just saying a quick hi to her and mostly looking at Kavanaugh because Trump has nothing to be proud of in her performance. And so even when he passes in front of her, he's not truly caring about her, and she stands there as a vengeful female, kind of, you put me in the system and now I'm wrecking it with my wrench in the mechanics. And then she looks away in a hick. She's feeling the ick. Now expressing facial disgust and a form of meditatory zen. I need to clean my eyes of seeing him. All right. Never trust a woman with power. End of the line, Joel says the Gibbs must flow. Blimpy Survivor Supervisor says Barrett theory, the proportion of traitors will increase until victory is once again just out of reach. Okay, so you think that basically there are sleeping agents that can tolerate a single Trump presidency, but that will not tolerate a repeated victory of the Republicans in 2028. That's your theory. I think it's interesting. I think it could very well be the case that the Faucis of this world, they basically show up. They show up when, as a kind of last resort, and they don't like to get dirty in politics, but if they have to, they do. And yes, certainly the whole federal workforce is probably filled with sleeping cell agents of this kind. We're looking into the Florida people who are going after Andrew Tate and his brother. Absolutely ridiculous, where you have these guys not living in Florida, and suddenly they arrive in Florida, and you have a political order, basically, by DeSantis to go hard at them. And it's really because of their free speech. It's really, you're going at Andrew Tate. If Andrew Tate was unknown as a public figure, you wouldn't have triggered this whole investigation of him. And we're learning that it's Jews that are undertaking this campaign of persecution. Attorney General James Utmeyer, according to a picture by Myron's Gain of his Wikipedia, Utmeyer is a native of Destin, Florida. He was born to a Jewish family. And so you have a Jewish power here going again with the tools of law and criminal law, going after people who are critical of Israel or who are critical of Jewish power. Well, I hope that Andrew Tate is decisive in continuing his free speech publicly, because there's way too much intimidation of public speakers away from this subject. Meanwhile, Byron Donalds is also joining, as a black man, joining the persecution of Andrew Tate, because Andrew Tate suggested that the reason Ron DeSantis was going after him is that that DeSantis was worried that Andrew Tate would root for his political opponent, Byron Donalds. But now Byron Donalds is saying that he wants nothing to do with the Tate brothers and that he thinks the investigation should go on. So here are two sides of a political challenge, of a potential political face-off, are rooting for the oppression of Andrew Tate. I don't know. Will they use some kind of law of human trafficking where an American citizen, no matter where they are on the planet, triggers the local jurisdiction because it's human trafficking? Maybe. That's maybe what they will try to do, but it's sad. It's just sad. Because you didn't care about applying this law when the Tate brothers were in Romania. So why is it that suddenly they land into Florida and you're going after them? Sneed 8 poster says a brown Muslim pornographer, but he names the Jew based. Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with the Tate brothers. I think they are ultimately a positive force. I'm against human trafficking and pornography. But also, I would acknowledge that pornography is very often a freely engaged in business of women, and women decide to use their body for pornography, and it's not always the fault of the men around them or the men trying to make it into a business. Really, I think that in attributing the wrongs of the pornographic activity to always the men, you are enabling this view of woman as non-agentic and not to be held responsible for the decisions that they take in their own life. Representative Ayanna Pressley and Rep. James Comer get into a screaming match after Pressley tried entering an article into the record.
Without objection, so ordered. We've put it in the record.
I haven't entered it.
You have what?
Mr. Chair, can I have several articles. I need to enter them. Let me just go ahead with what the articles are. What they speak to.
What's the next article?
Let me proceed. Data from Texas shows that U.S.-born Americans commit more rape and murder than immigrants.
Listen, this trend of you all trying to get thrown out of committee so you can get on MSNBC is going to end. We're not going to put up with it.
This is my procedural right as a member of this committee.
You can go with Mr. Frost and Mr. Green.
I am reclaiming my time.
That's what you want. No, no. Ms. Presley, I have been very accommodating to you. Mr. Subramanian,
start the clock. And I take umbrage as a survivor of sexual violence.
Go.
I will enter into the record. This is my right.
Oh, man. So she's trying to insert one of these articles that are total lies. That say that white people are committing more rapes than immigrants, and it's like they to be true, they are cherry picking their immigrants. Really, they are taking the immigrants that have entered through the legal route. They are taking subsections of them. Of course, we know that. In minority populations, the levels of violence are much bigger, whether it's Hispanic or Black. We know that the only case against this would be the Asians, which are more similar to the white populations. But if the problem is there's a lot of legal Asian migrants and a lot of illegal Hispanic migrants. And a lot of illegal Black migrants. So you find yourself with, if you take only the legal ones, you end up with a lot of Asians, and you end up with the conclusion immigrants are not a problem, but it's hiding a reality. Now she's trying to not only insert this article in the record, but as she states the title of the article, she's basically trying to enter in the record a fact that is under challenge, a controversial fact. Donald Trump calls for Gaza genocide, says Suleiman Ahmed. So Donald Trump has announced that he was sending all weapons to Israel so that they can finish the job. He started saying, release the hostage now or there will be hell to pay later. Look. It's a bad idea for America to stand by this genocide. Very bad idea long term. I don't really care all that much about the genocide. It's effectively completed already. So it's not that important whether the weapons are sent or not. But symbolically, for the U.S. to be standing by a genocide just because it's the Jews, it shows the problem that Jewish control of American politics is. And it shows the problem that America will one day have lost its credits internationally, will have lost its reputation, precisely because it sides right now with genocide. Other than this, the genocide is almost completed. So what is going to happen with these weapons? Israel is going to just bombard civilian populations in tents that have no way to defend themselves, that have no way to even commit terrorism. It's like they turned the whole place into rubble already. So I don't know what will happen with these weapons that will be so that the Jews are so obsessed about. Basically, the Jews in Israel, they are demanding for a genocide. They want the place to be cleared. And at the same time, you have the Western politics, the Trumps of this world, they are trying to help and show that they are on that side, but they can't really explicitly say, yes, we want to clean out Gaza. And so you have Trump using these excuse words and, oh, well, they have hostages, so they're terrorists. And we're not going to clear the Gazan population. We're going to clear the Hamas terrorist. But at this point, it's pretty clear that the Gazan population is the target of this war. And that the Jews of Israel, they will own the extremist Jews of Israel. As far as I can tell, it's the whole population. But okay, so some people say extremist Jews, extreme right-wing Jews of Israel. They want blood. They want the whole population eliminated and moved out of there if they survive. I am stunned. SCOTUS dissenters rage as liberals unfreeze $2 billion in USAID foreign aid payment. Justice Alito, Thomas, Gorsuch, and Kavanaugh were extremely strongly worded. Does a single district court judge who likely lacks jurisdiction have the unchecked power to compel the government of the United States to pay out and probably lose forever $2 billion in taxpayer money? The answer to that question should be an emphatic no. But majority of this court apparently thinks otherwise. I am stunned. Absolutely sad that we can't have a Republican Supreme Court, seeing here the obvious that the money-sending networks of the Democrats have been absolutely abused in ways that are not even recoverable, and to be continuing this abuse, to be trying to use the legal arm of the United States to force the continuation of this abuse is ridiculous. New Guy Prime says, Trump told Bibi to let the water flow. Bibi complied. 80 to 90% of Israel wants it. Foreign aid. CIA very happy. Okay. Israel's new army chief sworn into office. Hamas is not defeated. The mission is not over. So there's a new Israeli chief that will probably just continue the operation onto Gaza. I don't know what else they can do. Can they really snuff out, you know, the remaining Hamas fighters? Or is even this something they can't do? Because I noted at the beginning of this war that we couldn't snuff out the Afghan fighters, and eventually they would reconvert back into society, and but they would stay there as sleeper cells that were ready to eventually kick American soldiers out when America announced its withdrawal from Afghanistan. And you've seen all the trouble with the evacuation and all. So basically, we were not able to run this chase of the mouse type of work in Afghanistan. And I raised the possibility, will Israel be able to chase the mouse? And I noted then that Gaza is very, very small. Gaza is not like the mountains of Afghanistan. It's really like a physically measurable, containable area. And so I said, perhaps the Muslim resistance fighters cannot hide from a modern army force, but perhaps not also. And it seems now that the perhaps not is still a possibility. It's still a possibility that Israel doesn't even have the willpower and know-how to combat Islamic resistance on a very controlled area in which they can basically do everything. They can carpet bomb it, but if the mouse is unchaseable, if the mouse gets out of the rubble, and if they have tunnels and systems to protect against these carpet bombing strategies, you may just never be able to get a full neutralization of the area. New Guy Prime says IDF is useless. I mean, we've seen that they have been faced with just man-to-man resistance. You know, it seems that the Gaza fighters have what it takes in terms of needs to combat tanks, to blow them up with remote mines and various rocket launchers of all kind. And so it seems that it's harder than Israel thought it would be. And I don't know if it's even possible. As long as they don't reoccupy the area with their own people, and as long as they don't make this huge sacrifice of we're literally going to send Jews to live in, to face some of the violence, in fact, and with the hope that long term we Jewify this area. Other than this, I don't see what can win Gaza. They've tried carpet bombing, they've tried circumscribing and surrounding and pushing, and I'm not seeing much advancement. That is it for tonight, boys. Thank you for being with me. What do we have on the schedule? So we have this important debate on Friday. Right now we are Wednesday. So I'll see you all tomorrow. But on Friday, I'll take a break of the regular show so that I can attend the debate. The debate will be at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time. That is on Friday, a debate on evolution with Corey Mahler. So break, no show on Friday. See you all tomorrow. Much love and sleep well.